Hey, thanks for your flexibility to be in a tent this morning. There was a precedent set in the Old Testament when 2 million Israelites wandered the desert and they had a tent for their place of worship. So this is nothing new, actually, but it's interesting, having come to the Lord during the Jesus movement, all the hippies enjoyed that there was a huge tent. There was this little chapel Chuck Smith was the pastor of. It sat 300 people. It was his dream church since he ever started in the ministry. He worked a full-time job for 17 years, actually, and pastored all those years at different small churches. So his dream was 300 seats, maybe 150 people was the largest church he had ever pastored. And the hippies went to this little chapel in a bean field. There was no houses or anything around it. And then it grew so large, there was like 1,500 people. So it went to 2 services, 3 services, 4 services, people standing outside. You'd park your car 2 miles to walk to the services. So they bought this piece of property as a bean field, 22 acres. They put up a circus tent. And Chuck said, this will do it. We'll just do 2 services. And both services, first Sunday, were filled. So he went to 3 services. And they all 3 were literally filled, so like 4,500 people. So he said, well, let's just put a extension to the back of the tent. And so they added 750 more people, and then all 3 of those services were filled. And I was just thinking how that once the sanctuary was built and it was official pews and church, it all sort of changed. I think you're all just kind of casual kickback people, so we're just going to find a field somewhere from now on. And I'd like to share with you probably the next of the final message of lessons learned from a broken back, Colossians chapter 1. And I'd like to read 3 verses with you. And they're found in Colossians chapter 1. And there are 3 major words out of these verses that I would like you to maybe write down on the palm of your hand or memorize that you could use for your own life. Basically, these 2 or 3 verses, 4 verses at the very most, are very encouraging when you see them in light of your daily life. So I'd like you to follow along with me, if you would, at verse 12 of Colossians, the first chapter. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and covered us conveyed us into the kingdom, and this is the New King James Version, of the Son of His love. Very poetic. Of the Son of His love. And He in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, and how we need that, how we desperately need that. In verse 12, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, and those of you that have a different version may find a different word. It all means the same thing. But I found the poetic choice of words that are accurate in the New King James very, very good for the point to be made. In verse 12, we're giving thanks. So we want to know, what in the world are we giving thanks for? You know, if you get a raise, you give thanks. If you don't get a raise, you murmur, you complain, you mumble. If you got the present for Christmas or your birthday that you really wanted, you give thanks. You know, if something good comes our way, we give thanks. So what is it that we're giving thanks for here as Christian men and women? Well, he says we're giving thanks to the Father. So knowing who we're giving it to, who has qualified us. In the King James, it says has made us meet, M-E-E-T, made us able. But literally the word is qualified. So that would be the first word I'd like you to memorize and think of today and maybe carry it with you the rest of your life. It's the reason we're given thanks is that God has qualified us for something. And what is it that He's qualified us for? Well, He's very clear. He's qualified us to be partakers, to actually be partakers of an inheritance. And this is the inheritance of a particular group of people that have the wealth. It's the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now, the word partaker is like an investment term. For those of you that are in financial, real estate, you invest in things, stocks, bonds, that's what he's talking about. It literally means that you get a share of, you get a portion of, you get a percentage of, you get to be a partaker of. Part of whatever the whole is now yours. So he's telling us we're going to give thanks because we've been qualified. Now think of some of the qualifications you have. And think what you went through to be qualified. There are many of you that have done so many things, and you have plaques on your walls, and you have qualification certificates in your purses and in your wallets. You've been qualified to do certain things. I remember one of the first qualifications was when I began to fly and became a pilot back in the early 1960s. And you had to be qualified to be able to take the exam, to be able to get a license, to be able to fly. But before you could fly on your own, you had to qualify through all of your examination by your instructor to be signed off for solo. On my solo, the front nose wheel gave out. And when I landed, the wheel began to collapse, and I immediately pulled the yoke back, and I remembered a soft field takeoff or landing, and I just kept the nose up and the power up and just taxied around and let it go down in front of the instructor, because he's to blame. He didn't check the wheel, right? But then I wanted to expand that, so I had to be qualified. You can just fly an airplane, but you have to be qualified. So I wanted to land on water, but I wasn't qualified. So then I had to go through all the instructions to be able to get a seaplane rating. Then I wanted to fly multi-engine, so I had to go ahead and get qualified. There's different qualifications to understand all the systems of each airplane, plus what to do single engine. If you lose it on takeoff, you've got about 2.5 seconds on a fully loaded small single before you would flip over. Then I thought, how great, I want to fly in the clouds. So I had to be qualified. I wasn't qualified to fly in the clouds or the weather. It took qualifications, took training. And then I wanted to fly a jet. And a friend said, we have a jet. We want to give you a blessing. And had to sit for a week and just learn all those systems and then go fly it and learn how to do it. And then to sit with the federal aviation instructor. And he had to make sure that I was qualified. But each time, there was a deliverance. I had to be delivered from the one that was qualifying me over to the next authority who had to really check it all out. And the third thing was that he had to convey, and all of them carry little typewriters, the examiners. They take your license away from you, and they type in one that has several copies to it, and they do it with a typewriter right in front of you. And then they sign it, and then you sign it. And they put, you're qualified to fly this particular airplane, you have these qualifications, and it gives you this whole list of things if you go beyond just being a pilot. But you had to be qualified. Now think of some of the things that you're qualified with. The qualification that we're talking about here is that you can be removed from darkness and given a percentage of the inheritance that you are a partaker of, the saints in the kingdom of light. So there's a qualification. I was watching our mayor the other day, and this isn't a political choice or no choice, but I've known him for a long time when he was a police officer. I've been with the police department 25 years, I think, and I've known him a long time. And what type of a person he was? Was he ever qualified to be the chief? No, but after he went from patrol officer and spent years and became a sergeant and then a lieutenant and then a captain, then a commander, then an assistant chief, qualifications came along. Was there ever CEO experience beyond that? Well, then there was the United Way campaign, and he was qualified there, and then the Red Cross, and then ran for public office, and totally different. But you need more qualifications. You don't go from being a motorcycle officer of 3 years and then become the mayor. You don't go from one thing to the other. A friend of mine was shot years ago, I tried to help that person through all the trauma of the bullets hitting the vest. Do you think you've really been shot? Saw all the bruises where the bullets hit, and psychologically, the person was shot. And very, very rough time to go through. Still, even many years later, struggling with this. And she told me of a time that she was in a very precarious position in one rough area of San Diego and needed help right now. And everybody was busy, because one night I was in that area of San Diego, and every one of the squad cars was on a priority call, which means you drop whatever you're doing. And there were 10 priority calls, I think, backed up that night. And these were, you got to get here right now or something bad is going to happen. And she needed priority backup right now. And everybody was busy. But out jumps her captain in a surf pair of shorts going surfing and his Hawaiian shirt with his little snub-nose 38 coming up the steps to protect her. And he went through all those experiences and can identify with other police officers. Now, what is it you're qualified with? The word qualified means simply made us meet, as it says, able in the King James, or fit, or the word adequate. You may be able to be fit and adequate to do things that others of us here couldn't even attempt or even think of. Some of you hang out at the gym. Some of you look like you should be hanging out at the gym. But the ones of you that hang out at the gym, some of you can get down and you can lay on your back and you can bench press 200, 300 pounds. Others of us get there, and if we could just get the bar without any weights on it up in the air, we'd be very satisfied with that. But we're qualified in so many things, but we forget there's no way that you and I can get to heaven on our own. There is nothing in this world, be it catechism or religion or Bible study or going on the mission field or tithing or donating or memorizing or being Miss Goody Two-Shoes or the nicest guy in town. There is no qualification that allows you to get into the kingdom of light except for what Paul is giving thanks for. Thanks to the Father, because He has qualified us. It is given us a share in something that means as a family and as brothers and sisters, each one of us get to be partakers. So there are no walls, there are no barriers, there are no better than the big brother and the big sister. There's no sibling rivalry. We're all one in this kingdom, and we're all partakers. We're taking a portion of it. In the Bible, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God," in Romans 3. I think it's verse 23. Now, if we've all sinned, every human being that's ever been born, every man and woman, there's no way we can qualify for heaven. It's absolutely impossible that if you or I were to die this afternoon, that we have any qualifications that would allow us to get into heaven. Now, I received an email from a friend on the New York Police Department this past week. And he showed me business as usual, a normal day in NYPD. And he told me the story of a guy that had, this had recently happened, he had stolen a car. And there was a huge line of police cars chasing him. And just out of nowhere, the guy decides to stop and get on foot and run. And three cars, actually police cars, one is nose down with another one under its trunk. And the one behind it is up over the trunk. And it's just kind of a silly looking, you know, the cops really messed their cars up, shall I say. And it was kind of silly how that happened. Each of them qualified to drive their cars at high speed. Each of them qualified to chase a perpetrator. Each one of them qualified to do what they were doing, but they were a little bit distracted. And they didn't think everything out. So we can have the qualifications and still be sinners. But since we are sinners, in the bigger scheme of things, no way at all that we would be able to get into heaven without somebody qualifying us that has the authority to sign the final document. Yes, qualified. Let her in. Let him in. You remind me of the old joke that you've all heard of the rich guy that goes up to heaven, and he's very pompous. He says, "I want to come in." He said, "Well, St. Peter says, you're going to have to wait a little bit." He said, "Well, yeah, but I need to get in." He says, "You're going to have to wait." Another guy comes up, and he says, "Yeah, you're going to have to wait too." These were questionable people. And then this little stocky guy comes up and he has a little hat on and it's turned sideways and he's kind of cocky, you know, and got a real tight t-shirt and buffed arms and just all attitude, you know. "Yo, Pete," says to St. Peter. "How you doing, my man?" Gives him five. "Come on in, enter into the joy of the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant." And this rich guy says, "What is going on? I've given so much money to the church. I've helped so many people, and you're keeping me out for a while? Who in the world is that guy?" And he said, "You know, you did nothing really to help other people. It was all so your name would be on a plaque. You never really ever led one soul in evangelism. You never ever lived a life that people would witness. That little short guy there was a taxi driver in New York, and he scared the hell out of so many people. He's one of the best evangelists we have." For we've all sinned, and we can't qualify on our own. So the question would be, how do you qualify for an inheritance? Because the word inheritance is used here. You have qualified for an inheritance. And wouldn't that be wonderful? Tomorrow, a lawyer calls you up and says, "You know, you had an aunt. She was related to your mother's second cousin or something. Just so bizarre." And says, "She had about $45 million, and you are the only blood relative. You get the inheritance." I mean, you'd give thanks, wouldn't you, right there? And you'd be happy. But what qualifies you for an inheritance? The basics would be, I would think, off the top of my mind, relationship. But that's not necessary, is it? Relationship? Then the second one would be, say, you know, you don't have to be related to somebody to put you in their will. Friendship. Ah, it's very good friends. Yes, that's another thing. But here we're going way out of the box in the line of thinking. It says in the Bible in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, and so death passed on to all men, for that all have sinned. We're all guilty. We don't qualify. Your father could be a minister, and that doesn't qualify you. So he's giving thanks because he realizes, even as one of the leading religious people of his time, he doesn't qualify, but God qualified him and qualified all that believes in his son. So it's faith that gives you the inheritance. It's simply believing. It's that much. We thank God. We're grateful that he has qualified us. We don't jump through any hoops. He's done the qualification. The second word I want you to go home with is found right on the heels of thanks to God, the Father who has qualified us, made us partakers to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. And the second active thing that he has done, proactive, is those next words. He has delivered us. That's action. Okay, we're thankful that he's qualified us. Now he's delivered us. You know, if you're an astronaut, you don't just go out and jump in the space shuttle and start going to space or heading for the moon. In the latest team of people that are up there circulating, there's a lady that was a school teacher, and she was down on the list to be the backup for when the explosion happened and the people got killed on our space shuttle. And instead of her going, somebody else was more qualified at the time, and now she goes 20 years later. She was always qualified, but what she had to go through, most astronauts, or a good portion of them, are pilots. They have some aviation background. They are scientists. They have abilities that qualify them to fill out the form to be delivered from non-astronaut status to astronaut status. Now, what have you been delivered from? It's very important for us to realize he has delivered us from something. And maybe we forget what he's delivered us from. Bad tempers. You know, ungraciousness. You can go on our pride, our ego. What is it that God has delivered us from? 2 years ago, just before my mother died, I was just a couple of weeks before she died, actually, a few days. I was at a pastor's conference, and I went up to my pastor, and I said to him, you know, I never burden you, and I never, in all the years we've been friends, I'd never come and give you burdens. I've seen too many people do that. I always try to bring him good reports. Hey, listen what God's doing. And I said, but I'm really hurting, Chuck, and I need your help. What? And I said, my mom's ready to go to heaven, and it's just really hurting my heart, and I'm just struggling. Here I am. I know the Bible, and I know she loves the Lord, but just lots of childhood memories, teenage memories, you know, just I'm going to miss her. And it's just real hard right now. And I was just wondering if you could pray for me. He put his hand on my shoulder and lifted his rabbi finger up in the air. And he said this to me. Very simple. He's so full of these. Let's not forget the destination. I'd forgotten the destination. I mean, what a simple little truism. I said, sorry I wasted your time. He said, no, let's pray. You see, in 1970 or so, it was a beautiful day just like this. In Orange County. And my mother didn't know the Lord. And I invited her to come spend her vacation with Sandy and me. We'd just gotten remarried. And she boycotted the wedding. She wouldn't come to the wedding. She called Sandy and said, don't remarry my son. He's insane. And she didn't come. And Sandy wishes she would have listened. So there's this huge line waiting to shake Pastor Chuck's hand. And I said, Mom, you just got to meet this man. He's really a nice man. And she walks up to him, and she grabbed both of his hands. He grabbed both her hand with both of his. I said, Pastor Chuck, this is my mom, Ruth. And she looked at him with all sincerity. And I look back now, and I understand what she's saying. I didn't at the time. I thought it was nice. But she said, boy, my son sure loves you. And he had his famous smile with all the megawatts of the brilliant light shining. And he says, well, we sure love your son. He won her heart at that spot. She went back to Eugene, Oregon, and called me 2 weeks later and said, I went to church this morning and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, what I realize is this. I realize that she saw the light, and she then became a partaker of the inheritance of that light. What she was really saying and what God used to break her heart is, I was a wild man. And from the time I was a little boy until that time that she saw me really change, she could do nothing for her son that she loved. She loved me as a mommy, but she couldn't do anything. And I had finally found a person that I would submit to and accept the authority, and she knew this had to be a special person. And so for a mother, 60 years old, she's saying, finally, my son is in the right spot and somebody is helping him. That's what she was saying. But what he was saying was the word we. He didn't say, well, I sure love your son. He was saying, we, this congregation, these brothers and sisters, this family, and we, the Lord Jesus Christ, love your son. That's what won her over, was that love. I'm a partaker, you're a partaker, one with another, of this great inheritance in a kingdom of light, a tremendous kingdom of light. So to remember the destination is important. But the destination for you and me is towards heaven. But don't forget what he says, why he's giving thanks, is because we have been delivered from where our destination used to be, the power of darkness. We've all been there. We were at enmity. We're at war, hostility, angry with God. We fought God. Our Friday nights as teenagers and young adults and college students wasn't, you know, praying and fasting. Pacific Beach on a Friday night in the bars isn't about praying and fasting. And if you could just stop right now and say, oh, my Lord, I've been delivered from to be taken to a better destination, your life's going to change instantly. He's done it. You and I could not deliver ourselves, but he could deliver us. So that's why he's given thanks. We're thankful that he's qualified us. We're thankful that he has delivered us. And we're in the midst of a precedence again, the power of darkness. Now, I have found out the more neon lights, the darker the neighborhood. And it doesn't have to have a neon light. But if there's a lot of neon lights, you can imagine there's a lot of darkness going on. When you stop and think of how our guard as Americans is down and how morality doesn't have any power, that one commercial would be beat into our brains, what happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. What is that really saying? It's really saying we have laws that you men and women can come and visit prostitutes. We have laws that say you can pretty much do anything you want. We're asking you to give up your ethics and your morals and feel free when you want to blow some steam. You can come to this city and you can sin all you want. It's legalized. So you have to ask yourself, more neon signs? Is there more darkness? Probably, because Jesus said there is a broad way that leads to destruction and a narrow path. And every city has a Broadway or a Main Street or a strip. And that's where all the neon signs are, where all the clubs, where all the bars, where all the casinos, where all the movie theaters, where all the drama, where everything hangs out. Give thanks that he has delivered you. I see some of your faces, and I know you've been delivered from horrible things. Some of you ladies, from prostitution. Some of you men, from huge drug abuse, alcoholism, or abuse of your children or your wife, and you've been delivered from that. Some of you, crooked business people, you take shortcuts, cut corners, you do it all legally behind lawyers, and God has delivered you from that attitude, that you now no longer are like a blind man who's had Jesus touch his eyes and say, what do you see? And he says, I see men walking like trees. Jesus gave him a second touch, and he said, now what do you see? And he says, I see people very clearly. You see, that man had to have vision at one time and then lost it, because how would he know what a tree looked like, let alone a man, and to parallel men walking like trees. They're sort of just blowing in the wind and no movement. So you want to give thanks today that you have been delivered. The children of Israel were delivered from Egypt. Lot was delivered from Sodom. Noah was delivered from judgment with his family. Daniel is in a lion's den, and God delivers him. And Nebuchadnezzar, who put him in the lion's den, came at sunrise in the morning, leans into the pit and says, oh, Daniel, has your God spared your life? He's just hoping there would be somebody in his community that really believed in God, that this God was so powerful. And God has spared many of our lives because he's delivered us from the power of darkness. Darkness has power. And think of this, even as a pre-adolescent or an adolescent, weekends, hanging with the friends, it's dark. You're in somebody's backyard. Nobody can see you. You're standing outside a movie theater in the alley. Nobody can see you. You're walking down a street. Your buddy hands you a cigarette. Innocent little thing. You can remember when you smoked your first cigarette. You can remember when your first can of beer, a bottle of beer. Was it bright light and you're standing at Walmart? All of you just in front of, hey, how you? No, you go into darkness. You see, there's the power. Darkness has power to grab a hold of your mind and your soul and your spirit and get you to do things you wouldn't do in the light. So you're giving thanks that that power is no longer there in your life. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were put into a fiery furnace, and the king says, hold it. Didn't we throw three people into that fire? And it was so hot that when the soldiers came and opened the door to put the men in, the soldiers fell over backwards from the heat of that furnace. And the people standing around said, yes, we put three. He said, well, I see a fourth one walking in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he looks, the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Yes, God has a precedence of deliverance. And we give thanks today that he has not only qualified us to go to heaven, he's delivered us from the power of darkness. There's nothing we can do to be qualified. There is nothing we can do to deliver ourselves from this supernatural power. The last word before you go home is found very close on the heels of this one. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He's conveyed us. Some of you have a different word for conveyed, but it means the same. The New King James says conveyed us, where? Our destination. Into the kingdom, and this is the poetic version, of the Son of his love. Now, in some translations it says, conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. I like it. The Son of his love. That is so poetic. God the Father so loves his Son. In fact, even the Son knew his love. As a parent, it's one of the greatest things to do is not just love your children, but love them in such a way that they know you love them. That you just don't tolerate them, you love them. Because the Son said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus was the Son of his love. And to show you how much he loved you and how he could qualify you and how he could deliver you, he gave his Son, the Son of his love. Not the Son of his religion. Not the Son of his intellect, not the Son of his power or creativeness, but the Son of his love. The word Son, conveyed simply means, you all know, it means translated. He's translated us out of this kingdom of darkness because we're qualified to leave. The devil can't hold you back. A price has been paid. Blood has been shed. He has to let you go. Your habits, your mistakes, your sins, your errors, no power over you anymore. He's done it. You didn't do it. You didn't do it by genuflexing. You didn't do it by bowing. You didn't do it by crawling on your knees. You didn't do it by taking communion. You didn't do it by anything other than simply believing and receiving the Son of his love. He's qualified you, ladies and gentlemen. You should give thanks for that because you didn't have the ability to qualify, even if you were a taxi driver in New York City. The word conveyed means to transpose, to transfer. It means from one removed from one place to another. And so he has conveyed us from this planet to this inheritance in light into his Son's kingdom. That's where you're going. That's the destination. It's yours and it's free. There's nothing that you can do. Simple one, because so many of you know real estate in a smiley way or in a frowny way. You know, prices go up, prices go down. Interest goes up. This is just a cycle is all it is. Unfortunately, it's a cycle with a flat tire, but convey a deed of trust. You own a piece of property, you make a deal, you sign the bottom line, you convey it through escrow to another party. He has conveyed you through the qualifications of his deliverance on the cross that this world has no control over you. The flesh has no control over you. The real you is inside. You've been born again by the Spirit of God. You are now taking shares in, partakers of, the inheritance of the kingdom of light, which is the kingdom of the Son of his love. There are no neon lights. There are no smoke and mirrors. There is no tension. There is no pressure. There is no yelling or screaming. There is no anxiety. There is no tax date when it's due. There is no bankruptcy. There is no sadness, no pain, no suffering, no sorrow, no tears. It's just you and God, who loves you and has qualified you and delivered you and conveyed you into his realm. You're going to medical school. You're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a physician's assistant. You're going to be a nurse. You have gone through all the qualifications. You went to the classes. You've passed all the exams, but now you are delivered into some sort of authority situation that's going to give you an oral interview. They're going to give you written state tests. You've been delivered. Yes, you're qualified, but you've been delivered to make sure you're the right person. And then you are conveyed with that seal and that diploma, and now you practice medicine. You're going to be a police officer, and you go to the police academy. And I remember the night when I went through the Reserve Police Academy that we first fired pistols, 357s in those days, 1982, I think it was. And you walk through Miramar College with the chamber open, all bullets out, and hanging on your index finger, I forget if it's left hand maybe, and everybody had the same thing. If you walked through that campus to your car with your weapon, it was all the same way until you put it in a box, you locked it, put it in the trunk of your car, and you went home. And I remember a man was walking, and he lit a cigarette, and he was shaking, and the gun was shaking, and we were walking down the hallway outside of Miramar College. And I said, "What is the matter?" And he says, "This shooting stuff." I said, "What is the matter? Stop, please, let me help you. I could never shoot anybody. I just couldn't do it." And I said, "Man, you're a brave man. You're a courageous man. If you really feel that, what do you want to do?" "I want to drop out of police academy." I said, "Well, you may want to think about it. You may want to discuss it with the sergeant or with the lieutenant, you know, and discuss this. But I'm proud of you because you're being very honest right now. You see, you could go through and you could get qualified. But when you're delivered to the next step of the psychological tests that they put you through, and the hundreds of questions that you have to fill out, and then the lie detector test, all the emotions and all the feelings pop up between the psychologist, the written, and the lie detector. They would have found that. But he realized, I'm qualified, but I haven't been delivered into the right arena yet. And so he resigned, and he was never conveyed to that last meeting where they all stood in their uniforms, raised their right hand in Marine Corps Depot, and the chief of police swore them in, and they promised to defend the Constitution of the United States of America and against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. They were conveyed to have that badge, to wear that weapon, to use deadly force. Maybe in your life, it is that qualification of being a pilot. But you have to be qualified, delivered, and then conveyed to the kingdom until the qualifications are met, until we've been delivered to the right authority. And until the conveyance has been stamped with the approval of the higher authority, you and I are dead in our sins and our trespasses. So that's why he gives thanks. We give thanks to the Father. He's qualified us. We can't meet the qualifications. The bar's too high. But his Son has done for us. We give thanks to the Father because he's delivered us from the power of darkness. Is this true? Yes, I read the Bible, and he did it for 2 million Israelites out of Egypt. He did it for Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in a fiery furnace. He did it for Daniel in a den. He did it on and on and on. He loves to deliver us from those things that we don't have the power over. You don't have to fight anymore. And then he conveys you to the kingdom of the Son of his love. And God says, trust me. Trust that my grace is sufficient for you. Trust that the blood of Jesus Christ is the redemption of your sin. And trust that you don't have to work at it. You don't have to do it. Give thanks that he has qualified you. Give thanks that you don't need to struggle anymore over any of these things. He has delivered you. And you don't have to worry if you'll make it in through the golden gate, the narrow one. He has conveyed the title deed of your soul into his book of life because you have simply believed that God loved you and gave his Son, and you have received. For if a man will confess with his lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in his heart that God has raised him from the dead, you're qualified, delivered, and conveyed. You are saved. Shall we stand? Shall we pray? We're very grateful to you, Father, for all you have done for each one of us. It's way beyond us. Many of the issues we face today in our own families or our own businesses or our own education, our own health are way beyond us. But we want that smile of St. Paul, that we give thanks. We're just so thankful today that though we aren't qualified to even handle our own lives, let alone eternal life, it's already taken care of, that you have qualified us. We give thanks to you, Father, that we don't have the power to deliver ourselves from addictions and from problems and from darkness, even the power of darkness, but you have already done it. And we give thanks, Lord, that you have conveyed it. Our names are written down in the eternal book of life. You've conveyed us from this kingdom of this world into the kingdom of your world. May you bless these men and women today and give a tremendous release in all of their hearts, minds, and souls. May they realize they don't need to struggle. They don't need to fight. The battle is not theirs. It's yours. Lord, may they find tremendous peace, that the issues are issues beyond them and only you can deliver them. May you assure us with your touch right now that we have been delivered and that we are safe in your loving arms as we stand under the shadow of your mighty wings. May you forgive us for getting off track, the possibility we forgot the destination, where we're truly going. May we give thanks. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, before Evan and Sandy lead us in this final song of worship, I wonder if some of you just found a little bit of a release in God. Maybe you have been trying to do it all. You realize I'm not qualified, but God is. I can't deliver myself from these things, but God has. I want to go to heaven, but I can't get there on my own. But the Lord has already put you there. And you'd like to say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, and I give thanks that it's all that you do and all that you have done that has qualified me. If your desire today is to say thanks to the Lord and to ask forgiveness for your sins, would you, while everybody else is praying, look up at me and hold your hand up in the air? I'd like to just see you and pray for you. God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. Way in the back. Did I miss anybody? Yes, I see your hand right over here on my right side. Little hand. Yes, ma'am. Yes, the two of you right here. Yes, God bless you. Thank you, Lord, for these people. We're all just saying thank you because we know that they all came with a burden and something was just beating them down to the ground and just heavier than them. And you've just stepped into their life and they see your forgiveness and your love. And so we pray now, Lord, you'll take all of our lives and let freedom ring in our hearts. Let us just have those smiles of happiness for the great things that God has done. Honor these people. Bless these people, Lord. Prosper these people. Use these people and help those that are just young in you. Find good, godly friends that would help them grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Let us all be ready about your business. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.